Make money from your podcast with the Odyssey Creator Lab. You create the show, we bring the advertisers. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com.
Going on. My name is Kevin Deers, and of course, you're listening to Metal Shop and Metal Shop's Backstage Pass for the full podcast, for the full interview is what you're listening to. And obviously, right now, what you're seeing and who you're going to be hearing, if you clicked on the link, and if then you know who we're talking to. We're talking with Doug Aldrich from the Dead Daisies. They're going to be coming to town September 24th, just a few days before their new album Radiance is coming out. So first off, man, it looks like you're comfortable at home, right?
I am comfortable at home. It's hot as hell down here in LA right now, but we're leaving day after tomorrow to go start the tour and can't wait to get back to Seattle. It's always an honor to be in that city.
That's awesome, man. Yeah, it's you know, a rock and roll city that tech took over, but there's still some of that rock and roll spirit still around. So, you know, it's
absolutely
holding on, man. So, and the Crocodile is a great venue. It's an iconic venue, and you're going to love the way that they've built the new space. So it's beautiful and it's great sound.
Oh, cool. I didn't know they changed it.
Yep. They, during the pandemic, they signed a lease for a new spot that ended, they even have a hotel. So I think they have the band stay in the hotel, there on site.
Nice. That sounds great.
I'm curious about, how have you guys done some playing out and some touring since, restrictions have ceased to happen? How's it been going back out into the world, since that time?
It was really good. It felt great. There was everybody was on tour this summer. I mean, yes. We went for like 10 weeks to Europe and crossed paths with everyone from Korn to Judas Priest and everybody, just everybody was out at the same time. Unfortunately, some people got, had to take breaks. We did. We had to take a week break because a couple of us, me, David, and a few other guys got COVID. So we had to camp out in the hotel, isolate, wait till we got negative. We missed a couple of really cool gigs, but we had overall a great tour.
Awesome.
And it's just we just got to navigate it now a little bit.
Exactly. And it's awesome to see. We're actually kind of at an embarrassment of riches at this point now with so many shows happening, and it's almost like, shows zigzagging and people running into each other. It's like over in Europe, it must have just felt like so cool to see people back out and see all old friends, and it must have been pretty cool.
Yeah, it was. I mean, we did tours with, we did dates with Foreigner.
Awesome.
All those guys are friends of ours. And we did dates with, as I said, Judas Priest.
Yeah.
And we were going to do dates with Whitesnake. Unfortunately, those got blown out because the Whitesnake guys had to come home.
Mm-hmm.
But, and then we did a whole bunch of shows on our own. Yeah, it's getting back to normal a little bit. I was just thinking about it the other day. I was like, okay, in the future, if somebody wakes up and they got a scratchy throat or something, you just need to tell your band, like, hey, look, guys, I got a scratchy throat. Stay away from me. I'll test and see what happens. But regardless, whether you're negative or positive, you still got something.
Yeah.
You need to be careful not to spread it. And we just got to move forward. I don't want us to have to go home anymore. If somebody catches COVID or whatever, I want us to, we got to stay with it. We got to work through it. You know, that's the way I think about it.
Absolutely, man. Your livelihood depends on it, man. You're a full-time musician. So you know, that's,
plus the thing of it is like when people are thinking about a tour, like for example, this stadium tour that's out right now with Def Leppard and crew and all that, you know, people make a lot of plans for hotels and flights and you know, they'll get their family to cover the kids so they can go away for the weekend.
And a lot like that goes into it. Yeah.
A lot goes into it. So it's like to have that just cancel, especially at the last minute, which happened a lot this year, it's no fun. So I think we got to roll with it. Like how they've been doing it in Asia for years is when somebody's sick, they wear a mask, you know, and then you Absolutely. Know, you see them walking, see them walking down the street and they're okay. Unfortunately got a cold or whatever, but.
And there's no stigma. There's no politics involved in it. It's just looking out for yourself and looking out for the other people. It's simple as that.
Yeah, absolutely.
So we're here to talk about the new album. Obviously, of course, you're going to be playing in Seattle, but the new album comes out 6 days after that. It's called Radiance. Tell me a little bit about, you know, what can we expect from the record? And was this kind of like a pandemic project? Did you guys hunker down and work on it during the pandemic?
It started out like that because Glenn had some ideas and I went down to his place and we started to work through that stuff. And during 2020, because there was nothing else happening.
Yeah.
You know, it was summertime and it kind of lightened up a little bit in Los Angeles. Mm-hmm. So we started banging through tunes and he had some stuff that I thought was really cool. And then we kind of capped it off for a while because we had to go on tour to support the last album, Holy Ground.
Yeah.
And then we had a tour book for February starting in Germany and doing a whole European run that moved until May and June. We moved it. But then we decided, well, why don't we go and make a record? We got some good songs already. Yeah. So we wrote, David Lowy wrote a few, I wrote a few. We all passed that off to Glenn. He finished them up and we recorded from March till May, right before we left to go on tour. And I'm not just saying it cause I'm in the band and whatever, but I'm really happy with the record. And
that's
awesome. I think people will dig it. So we've got four singles out as of today.
Yeah.
We've got the fourth one called Face Your Fear. The first one was Radiance, really heavy, dark riff, then with a big melodic chorus. Shine On, which is just a kind of barn burner, straight ahead rocker. Hypnotize Yourself is kind of a simple AC/DC style, big riff.
Yeah.
Goes from light to shade. You know, in that song, it's got a really mellow verse and then it kicks into this full on twerking soul chorus. And then Face Your Fear is the one that's out today. So we're going to be playing all four of those songs on the date at the Crocodile. So we're going to do four songs from the brand new record. We're going to throw new music at you guys.
Nice.
And we got four songs from the last album and we got probably six or seven older Daisy songs with Glenn singing them. It's really incredible.
Yeah.
And then we'll do a couple Deep Purple songs as well, throwing it in there. But the new stuff is where we're really excited about. So we really, I mean, can't wait for you guys to hear that live.
That's awesome, man. Well, I'm looking forward to it. Like I mentioned, a great venue and I'm stoked to see you guys. This will be my first time seeing you guys live. So happy to do that. Happy to cool. check you guys out and support you guys. You know, it's going to be awesome. I'm curious about, you know, I was doing a little reading up on you and you started playing guitar at 11 years old.
Yeah.
So who was your inspiration? Like, did you come from a musical family?
Nope. No, not really. I mean, my family liked music, but nobody really played in the house. But my little sister had a classical guitar and both my little sister and my older sister had, you know, record players.
Of course.
And albums. And I didn't have a stereo. So I would go in their room and check out with the headphones, check out like my older sister had Peter Frampton, Comes Alive and Stevie Wonder. My little sister had Kiss and Queen. But my older sister had a Jeff Beck record, Blow by Blow from 1975. And that record on headphones just got me. And so I just started gravitating towards guitar. You know, when I'd hear a song, I'd listen to the guitar. And, you know, at that time, Smoke on the Water was on the radio. Mm-hmm. Jimi Hendrix was, Purple Haze was on the radio, or Foxy Lady, I forget. There was Allman Brothers, the Eagles. There was all kinds of stuff. It was the summertime. It was hot out. There was nothing really to do. All my friends were gone for like this particular week, like at camp or whatever. And there was no sports. And I just decided, you know, I'm going to try my sister's guitar. Yeah. She had a book. And it's like out of boredom, this whole thing started, because I was bored and didn't know what to do. There was no, video games or anything like mm-hmm. that back then. I'm old as
but, well, you look great. So I would.
Thanks, man. But anyway, yeah. So that's how it started, and I went from there to I got an electric guitar, and my first nice electric guitar was about 6 months later. It was a 1973 Gibson Les Paul Gold Top.
Yeah,
and that's what I gravitate towards now. I'm back full circle.
That's cool.
I own a lot of guitars, but that's my favorite one.
Nice, man. Like you said, full circle, man. That's cool. So, you know, you've played with so many iconic bands. You've had the chance to, you know, be on stage with rock legends, rock gods, metal gods. Was there a band that you started that nobody knows about? Was there like a crappy first band? Were you a part of any bands that nobody knows? What was that called?
It was called Purple Haze. First band.
Yeah.
It was called Purple Haze. It was me and our friend played drums, and we were talking about, you know, like who was going to play guitar and bass. And I said, well, I've started playing guitar a little bit, but I'm happy to play bass. And my buddy goes, no. I want to play bass. So I'm like, cool. So we got our, there used to be a department store called Sears Roebuck. I don't know if you uh-huh. remember it, but
yeah,
that's where I got my first electric guitar and a little practice amp, you know, about this big. And we put a red light bulb in the basement, and we just jammed for hours. And I remember we jammed on Smoke on the Water in the wrong key. It was the wrong chords, but it sounded kind of like it.
Yeah.
And there was just a feeling of hearing that and playing it together.
Yeah.
That was incredible.
That's awesome, man.
So Purple Haze was the first one. And by the way, we had this funny thing. It's so out there. But we had seen on TV that there were bands that had smoke machines and stuff like that. And somehow we figured out we had these snorkels, and we get talcum powder and put it in the snorkel. And during part of our little homemade set, we go back to the snorkel and go, and the talcum powder would go up like this, and it was Purple Haze.
Wow. And hey, there you go.
It was our smoke machine. But then you'd be totally covered, and your guitar would be covered with talcum powder. So it wasn't great for that, but it was cool, you know, that we were trying to put on a show back then.
That's DIY pyro and ballyhoo. I like it. That's awesome, man. Well, you know, so obviously, like I mentioned, you know, you've had the chance to, you know, along with Dead Daisies, you've played with so many icons, and you've, you know, kind of been playing alongside some of your heroes. Has there ever been, I know it's, you know, totally put you on the spot, but is there ever been a moment that's kind of like a holy or like a pinch me moment?
I mean, working with the being in the studio with Ronnie James Dio and hearing him sing on a song. When I joined Dio, he had offered me the gig actually in 1990, and I wasn't ready to leave my first real kind of recording band at that time. I just didn't I just wasn't ready to split. But eventually that band broke up, and then 10 years later, Ronnie offered me the gig again, and I took it. And we were in the studio, and there was only in the studio when you're recording, they put the songs listed on the wall. There's like check marks for drums, bass, guitar, vocals. But there's only 8 songs. And I said, so are we just doing 8 songs? That's it? He goes, no, we need 2 more songs, 2 or 3 more songs. So Jimmy Bain and I came to my house here in the back, and we wrote a couple of songs, musical songs, and we gave them to Ronnie, and Ronnie loved them both. And
that's awesome.
To hear Ronnie sing a song that a riff that I wrote.
Wow.
It was called Scream. I was there when he recorded it, and it was just, I mean, it was goosebumps, you know, it sounded so freaking good. And then being on stage with Ronnie was amazing. Of course, the first time watching him work the stage and how he was so fearless. And then, you know, working with David Coverdale, being on stage with Coverdale and Red Beach and Tommy Aldridge. And that was like, you know, a whole nother thing. And then, you know, writing songs with David, where we were, by that time I was, you know, I was in the band and he and I were bros. We are still. And I came up with some music that he liked, and we finished it, and we would kind of demo it up and listen to it. And I would be like, man, this is incredible. It's like, it's incredible. I'm making new Whitesnake music with David Coverdale.
Yeah.
All the way till now, I still get that with Dead Daisies, with, you know, working on, like, for example, David Lowy, who started the band and is a really down to earth person, very, you know, unaffected, and plays guitar with a simple, youthful approach, almost punk rock in a way. Mm-hmm. Grew up in Australia on Aussie rock, we like to call it. And like, there was a couple songs in this album on Radiance where he was on the bus just jamming. And I was like, ooh, that's pretty cool, that little riff right there. It was just a little chunk of something. Mm-hmm. And I would just record it on my phone, you know, so that I would just have it documented, because otherwise that stuff just goes away.
Yeah.
It'll come and go and you'll never think about it again. But when you capture it, that's, you know, the thing about technology that's so cool is now you can actually capture that moment and you have it. And some songs on this album turned into, you know, some songs ended up on the album that started off just an innocent riff on the back of the bus.
That's right.
It's like, yeah. And then hearing Glenn take to it and make it like come alive with his vocals, it's pretty cool.
Yeah, that I mean, both those things. That's all those things you mentioned are total pinch me moments, dude. That's badass. So you were inspired by Jeff Beck originally.
Jeff Beck, Jimmy Page, Richie Blackmore, Tony Iommi. I mean, I was a kid before I played guitar. There was this group of boys that had a little kind of gang thing.
Yeah.
Not in the sense of gangs like we think of now, but like a group of boys that hung out together. It was their club.
Kind of innocent.
I wanted to join that gang, and they said, okay, listen, if you're young, you're the young guy, so if you want to come hang with us, you got to go get the single for Iron Man, Black Sabbath on 45.
That's your duty.
That was my what do you call it, prospecting.
Yeah,
you know, to join the club. My mom took me to the record store, and I found it was like 99 cents. That was nice. Full price.
Yeah.
And so Tony Iommi was on my list. Everybody, all through the years, you know, and then I came back to, I didn't know who Richie Blackmore was. I just knew this song, Smoke on the Water.
Yeah.
But then I found out about Deep Purple and the song, and, you know, the album Burn and Machine Head, those albums. And then bands like UFO with Michael Schenker blew me away. And then Rainbow with Richie Blackmore and Ronnie James Dio. That was incredible. And then Van Halen came out and just like killed everybody for a minute.
Yeah.
And then, you know, Ozzy Osbourne, Ozzy with Black Sabbath, but then Ozzy with Randy Rhoads, and then Black Sabbath with Ozzy, and then Black Sabbath with Dio. It was just, it was amazing. So all of them were in my influences. But I'll tell you the biggest one is probably Jimmy Page, because Jimmy Page, Zeppelin was super important in my life. And Zeppelin 2 was the first album that I got of theirs. Hearing a Whole Lot of Love, you know.
Yeah.
It's, you know, people take it for granted. I heard today on the radio, Walk This Way, and I've heard that song a million times. I've gotten to the point where it's, again, full circle. Well, now I hear it and I go, man, that's so cool.
Yeah.
That riff, the solo parts, the vocal, it's just like on point, you know? So, but Jimmy Page is like probably the biggest inspiration. Not my biggest influence. I'd probably play more like somebody else, but I love Zeppelin.
Nice, man. Well, I do have a kind of a random question that I ask everyone, and because it always typically, you know, an interesting story comes about from it. So
yeah.
if you can, pick a scar on your body, show us if you can, but at least tell us the story of how you got the scar.
Okay. Well, there's one, let's see, open it. I don't know if it's still there, but under one of these eyes, it was back in the late 90s, mm-hmm. when the Lakers had Kobe Bryant just come on the team.
Yep.
And I went out to get some dinner. I wanted to hurry back and get the game on, because I just loved watching this kid play. It was just incredible. And I was trying to rush, and I got my dinner, and I opened the door, and I pulled it right into, I think it's here. I don't think you can actually see it.
Okay.
But because it healed pretty good, but I had to go get six stitches for that, because it just cracked my face open. And then the other one that I'll tell you about is, it's on my back right here.
Yeah.
It's, I don't know if you can see it, but it's there. But it was when I was really young. I think I was 8 or 9,
mm-hmm.
and there were these kids that had a fort house in the middle of this field, and a bunch of us younger guys, we wanted to like just terrorize them, and so we went and somebody dared, I don't know why it was me, but I went and kicked the door in of their wood door, and they came out like a hornet's nest, were chasing me, and I was running fast, but right ahead there was this fence that was barbed wire, and it had some vines on it and stuff, but it was still barbed wire. Mm-hmm. And I was like, I don't have time to climb this or time to navigate through this thing. So I just tried to dive straight through it, and a piece of the barb ripped my back. And but I never got that. I never got it stitched. I just put tape on it and let it heal. But it's still there. And then probably the last one is, I got one right here on my chin, mm-hmm. that is, it's hard to see. It was a long time ago, but I was trying to shave and I just sliced my chin with a single edge razor.
Yeah.
Damn. And that actually, looks kind of all right. But yeah.
That barbed wire, dude, that sounds gnarly.
Yeah. I think, you know, I actually recently, I don't know if you can see this, these scratches.
Uh-huh.
There's one here. It's kind of healed up, but there's like one right there you can still see.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was at my son's soccer practice a few months back, and they kept kicking the ball off the field, and then they kicked it actually over this fence that, so I was fetching balls, and I went and get that ball, and I had this giant stick. It was about 15 feet long. I was trying to kind of drag the ball back over top of this fence.
Yeah.
And I had it, and then I slipped down and I scratched it really bad with this. It was like a rusty fence. You know?
Oh no. Need a tetanus shot for that one.
I did. I was actually leaving to go to Europe in like 3 days. And I was like, oh man, I started reading about it. And it said, well, I was completely ripped open, but it wasn't like pouring out blood, but it was definitely, you know, had gotten in there.
Yeah.
So I was reading about it. It was like tetanus shot, got to do it. So I went to the pharmacy, got the tetanus shot. And I, fortunately, you know, nothing happened, but I didn't want to be in Europe with lockjaw.
Right. Jesus.
Yeah.
Foaming at the mouth and all that whatnot.
So. Right.
Again, Doug Aldrich from the band The Dead Daisies. They're going to be coming to town at the Crocodile. You can get your tickets now September 24th, again, at the Crocodile. And their new album, Radiance, is out September 30th. And you can pre-order that on vinyl, on CD. Dude, so, you know, you mentioned you're stoked to come back to Seattle. Any final words for the Northwest audience before I let you go for today?
Well, like I said, it's always a pleasure to be in Seattle. We love it there. I'm going to go get some seafood when I'm there.
Yes.
And the audience is always great. The people are super kind. They're mm-hmm. very, I think the IQ is probably a little higher than other parts of the country in Washington. It's just a nice place to hang. You know, yeah. I just wish I could have more time there. But we're going to have a killer show. So yep. come hang with us. And the voice of rock, Brian Tichy on drums, David Lowy, I'll be on guitar as well. And we'll have a great night.
Awesome, man. Well, the venue is right down the street from the famous Pike Place Market, so you can go get some fresh seafood, man.
I will, for sure. Awesome. No question.
Awesome.
Thanks, man. Kevin. I really appreciate it, bro.
If you have a podcast and want to monetize it stress-free, you need the Odyssey Creator Lab. We'll host your podcast for free, and our experienced sales team brings in the advertisers and the revenue. Easy. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.